Psalm 51, beginning in verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hinder part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all of mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thine Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure and design. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon mine altar. I want to preach this morning on the subject of the joy of salvation. The joy of salvation. The text verse that I want to use is verse 12. Now notice closely this verse. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. There is no greater joy than the joy of being saved. No greater joy than that. Being saved by God's grace could be called, perhaps, a mountaintop experience. When we talk about a mountaintop experience, we talk about a time of joy and a time of happiness. But what we must remember is that this life is filled with both mountains and valleys. And we have to understand, when we're talking about the joy of salvation, that we can have joy in both experiences. That is, the mountain or the valley. When things go right, we're prone to rejoice more, and less when things go wrong. But even when things are going wrong, being saved by the grace of God and knowing the truth of God's word, we can still rejoice, even though we're not on the mountaintop, but we're in the valley. So as I read and thought about this, and I heard this mentioned the other day, this thought was mentioned in a sermon that I heard at a funeral. And the Lord began to put me into gear, and I began to work on this verse of scripture, and where the psalmist said, and he was speaking of himself, and he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And I thought, well, a great subject is the joy of salvation. The joy of being saved by the grace of God. And I believe and know personally that there is not a greater joy than being saved by the grace of God. I want us to notice some things from this verse and some truths that are brought out, some simple truths that are brought out in this verse that are a blessing to me, and I believe that will also be a blessing to you. And this verse I'm going to preach on, verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Now I want you to look at the wording here. And I thought about, and you can take a concordance and do this, how many times the psalmist used this term, thy salvation. Thy salvation. He didn't say, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. But he said, and that's the way a lot of people quote that verse. A lot of people quote this verse and say, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. But that's not what this verse says. The verse says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Now, what does that mean? Well, it simply means this. I believe that Jonah had it down a long time ago when he said that salvation is of the Lord. See, salvation is not of you. Salvation is not of me. And he said this in Jonah 2. Now, but salvation is of the Lord. So if salvation is of the Lord, salvation belongs to the Lord. And it is the salvation. So we find that I believe that not only did Jonah have this truth when he said there in Jonah 2:9, but I believe that God had even revealed it unto John the Baptist. And when John saw Jesus walking out there on the shores of Galilee, and he said in John 1:29, he said, behold the Lamb of God. And he said, which taketh away the sin of the world. I believe he knew exactly the same truth that Jonah knew, that salvation is of the Lord. And if there's any sin going to be taken away, it's going to be taken away by the Lamb of God. That is God's salvation. And the Bible talks about this time and time again. If you'll take your concordance and go through, and I looked at this last night, and I thought about all of these verses and how they're used in the book of Psalms, and how that so many times the psalmist said, thy salvation, thy salvation. But you'll find, and we'll notice this in preaching this verse, he finally came down to say, my salvation. In other words, thy salvation has become my salvation. So what we find is it only becomes that when a person has been saved by the grace of God. I thought about what Jesus said in this verse of Scripture in John chapter 5 and verse 24. Now listen to this. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. What is salvation? What is God's salvation? God's salvation is everlasting life. What happens when a person is saved by the grace of God? They have become a recipient of everlasting life. They have received eternal life or everlasting life. So Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, that is God, hath everlasting life. And he said, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That's God's salvation. And that's the salvation that he has for everyone that will receive him as their personal Savior. So, the salvation that he's talking about here, when he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, this salvation comes from God, and it comes through the Lord Jesus Christ, and it comes by the ordained means that God has that we might receive God's salvation. I'm thankful this morning that the salvation I have is the Lord's salvation. I'm thankful that it's a salvation that is from God. It's not a salvation that's from some man, from some person, some man, some individual here on this earth, but it is a salvation that has come from God. I thought about, there's an interesting statement that I've used several times, and I've even preached this as a text verse in Hebrews chapter 1 and there in verse 14. And it talks about, in that passage of Scripture, it talks about the heirs of salvation. And when Paul was writing there in Hebrews chapter 1 and in verse 14, listen to what he said when he was talking about angels is what he was talking about, as ministering spirits. And you know, God appoints angels over certain individuals, and those angels see to it that nothing happens other than God's divine order and God's divine purpose according to what he has for that individual, for that person. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14. Now that's what this is speaking about. Now look, it says, are they not all ministering spirits? Now who he's talking about is angels. And each one of us has an angel. You can call it a guardian angel or whatever you want to call it. But each one of us has an angel appointed to us that said, sent forth to minister for them. Now look at this. Who shall be, what? Heirs of salvation. That means that they've not been saved yet. But it means they shall be saved. And it means that God has appointed an angel over them. What it means is that, you know, you're flying across, you know, in this airplane, and you have this airplane crash, and you know, you're in there with 250 people, and 249 of them die. But you don't die, because you have an angel watching over you, and because there's a time that God has appointed that he's going to save you by his grace, and you're going to receive that salvation. You've not been saved yet, but there's a time out there that God's going to bring you to it. Now that's the kind of salvation to have. A salvation that God has purposed and planned, and a salvation that God brings to an individual. And that's the reason the psalmist said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He was acknowledging that salvation was fully of God. And of course, how that salvation gets to a person is through the gospel. And Paul knew that. He said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And so Paul also knew that when he wrote to the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 1:5, and he said that the gospel came not in word only, but it came in power and in demonstration of the Holy Spirit or of the Holy Ghost. That is the way that this gospel comes. In 2 Thessalonians, if you'll look there with me in chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, when Paul was writing to them, and listen to what he said here in these verses of scripture, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and notice with me in verse 13. But we're bound to give thanks, notice, always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Now this is thy salvation, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Now see, God elected or chose his people to salvation. He chose them to be saved. Chose you to salvation. And then when there was the means, through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the attaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in the we find here that how that he brings this great truth out. Now, if you'll go on over a few pages to 2 Timothy, and if you look there in 2 Timothy with me, chapter 3 and in verse 15, and notice what it says. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, now look, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So what we find here is when the psalmist was talking here in Psalm 51, he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And so we see that it is a salvation that comes from God. It is a salvation that is of God, and God graciously gives it to us through the means that he has ordained. And we spend the rest of our life praising him for that salvation. And I tell you, it makes you thankful. You know, were it not for the God of heaven, you would not be saved this morning. Were it not for that salvation that God had for you. So that's the first thing that I wanted us to notice here in Psalm 51 and there in verse 12, but that's not all. Now, notice this verse again. I want you to be sure that you stay with this verse here in Psalm 51 and in verse 12. You'll notice he not only used the words thy salvation, but the first word of that is, notice the word restore. Now here's something I want to point out to you. He does not say restore salvation. Does he? He didn't say restore salvation, does he? No, he doesn't. Because salvation is that which cannot be lost. See, he didn't say restore. Read that verse. Look at that verse 12. Restore unto me salvation? No. What did he say? Restore unto me the joy. See, not restore unto me salvation, restore unto me joy. You can't lose your salvation, but you can lose the joy of it. And there's many people today that are saved by the grace of God, and they have lost the joy of their salvation. But he says, restore the joy of thy salvation. How do we lose the joy of salvation? How do you? Now, this morning, if there's anything you ought to know for sure in your heart, you ought to know you're saved. But now, how happy are you? Some of you look like you're just about to the bottom. I don't mean physically, but I'm talking about the joy of your salvation. You know, I wouldn't go into any saying you look like so-and-so or certain thing unless I offend some honorable state that we have. You know, but you know, where's your joy? If you're saved this morning, where's your joy? What's got you down? I'll tell you what's got you down. I'm going to let the Bible tell you what has you down. Look in Hebrews with me, and look in chapter 12 of the book of Hebrews, and notice exactly what Paul is saying here in Hebrews chapter 12, and notice with me in verse 1 and verse 2. Look at verse 1. Hebrews 12, 1. Now notice. Wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now notice. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Now what's robbed you of your joy of the Lord's salvation this morning? Sin. Sin in your life as a Christian will rob you. It won't rob you of your salvation, but it'll rob you of the joy of it. And I believe this is brought out here. We are beset by sin. Now, what happens is many times, now, there's a remedy for besetting sins. And God has given it to those that are saved by the grace of God that they might retain the joy of thy salvation. And you know what it is? Confessing them. Is this not what we've been studying? 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. And that teaching there in 1 John has nothing to do with your salvation. It has nothing to do with your relationship, but it has to do with your fellowship. And when you have sin in your life, and when you've not confessed those sins, and when you're out of fellowship with the Lord as a person that's saved by the grace of God, you're not happy. You're only happy when you have confessed your sins. Now, what he says there, if we confess our sins, that's what it says, 1 John 1, 9. Okay. If we confess our sins, do you always confess your sins? Not always. Sometimes you have to go through several storms and several, I don't mean ice storms, but several kind of storms that come in your life and several things that happen to you and cause you to say, now something's wrong here. And then you come down and say, well, now this is not right in my life and I've got to confess this and make it right. If we confess our sins, what's it say? What's that verse say? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what causes people to lose the joy of their salvation? It is sin, and sin that is unconfessed. Now, loss of joy is not if we sin, loss of joy is not if we sin, it's if we fail to confess our sins. And this is a point that has been brought out in 1 John chapter 1. For if we say that we have no sin, we make him a liar, and we do not the truth. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the loss of joy is not if we sin, but if we fail to confess our sin, and we confess our sin to God, for sin is against God, and pardon comes from God. Salvation comes when the Spirit of God has convinced us of sin. That's when salvation comes. And has shown us in exceeding sinfulness and filled us with a godly sorrow for us, for it, and given us repentance unto salvation that needeth not to be repented of. And it never will be again. Now that's when salvation comes. But the psalmist is not saying, restore unto me thy salvation. But what's he saying? Now this may seem like elementary, or it may seem awful simple, but this is a truth that many people overlook. He didn't say, restore unto me thy salvation. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. See, thy salvation cannot be lost, but the joy of it can. I tell you, there's been times in my Christian experience in life that I've lost the joy of the Lord's salvation. There's times that I've been backslidden. And you've experienced that. You may be experiencing this morning. And you've experienced that as a child of God. Now, after salvation, after we've been saved by the grace of God, what we do is we live with a sight and a sense of sin. Now we know what sin is. Before we were saved by the grace of God, we didn't know what sin was. But see, we've been saved by the grace of God, and now we live with a sight and sense of sin and concern for it, and that's why we come and acknowledge it before the Lord. Now, let me put this to you. When we come and confess our sins, is that when he forgives us our sins? Why, certainly not. You know when he forgave us our sins? When he died at Calvary. When he died at Calvary, he forgave our sins. Our sins were atoned for. Our sins were paid for. Our sins that are past, our sins that are present, and our sins are future. What is this? What is the purpose? What is the main purpose of coming and confessing our sins? I'll tell you what it is. It's restoring the joy of our salvation. It's restoring the joy of thy salvation. Because, brother, when you come to Christ and confess your sins, you come humbly. You don't come blowing bubbles and whistling and moving around like this and things like this. You come and fall before him and you say, I've sinned and I want to confess my sin. I'm miserable. I'm unhappy. I want to be happy again. And thank God, what happens to you? You go back to Calvary. And you see Christ back there at Calvary dying for your sins, paying the penalty for your sins, and paying the price for your sins. And so we humbly imploring for Christ's sake, his pardoning grace and mercy, and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins on the basis of that shed blood of atonement of Jesus Christ there at Calvary. Now, forgiveness of sins here intends not the act of forgiving as in God, but proceeding upon the blood shed and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. For that act was done one time. There was only one time that Christ died for sin, and only one time that our sins was paid for, and there was only one time that our sins were forgiven. And that's when Jesus Christ died there on the cross of Calvary. So what it does, it's like this. Here I am, a person saved by the grace of God. There's a sin come in my life, and I'm miserable. You know how it is. You're just sinners saved by grace, and y'all know what I'm talking about, and you know how miserable you are, and how dejected you feel, and you, You feel like you're a worm, and you feel like you're a nothing, and yet you cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, I've sinned. There's sins in my life. Lord, I want to ask your forgiveness. And we know that forgiveness is based upon what Jesus Christ did there at the Calvary. Brother, that brings you down to the dirt. It brings you down, humbly down. And then what it does, it restores joy. It don't restore your salvation, but what does it restore? It restores the joy of thy salvation. That's what's wrong with many Christian people today. It's not that they're not saved. They've lost the joy of God's salvation. There ain't nothing wrong with God's salvation. Nothing. It's perfect. There ain't nothing wrong with it. And there's nothing wrong with you being saved by the grace of God. You are saved by the grace of God, but you're not happy. And what has caused that is sin. And those sins that have come in your life, you've not confessed them and you've not made it right. I know just exactly when that happens to me. How I get, we call it the muddy grubs, and get down and out, and you've got to scoop me up with a scoop off the floor and a bunch of other things, and you know, and which that's not the natural way for a Christian person to act. The way for a Christian person to act is to rejoice in their salvation. The joy of it. And so, really, this is what takes place, and this is what happened. Now, this act is done at once. That is, the act of forgiveness of sins was there at Calvary, includes all sin, past, present, and future. Now, this is an application of pardoning grace to a poor, sensible sinner humbled under a sense of sin and confessing it before the Lord. Now, the confession is not the cause or the condition of that pardon, the confessing it, nor manifestation of it, but is descriptive of the person and points him out. It's descriptive of that person that's a sinner to whom God will and does make known his forgiving love. What we do is he takes us back to Calvary. When God saves you, you know where you went to? You went to Calvary. That's where you're saved. You're saved at Calvary. You save in the grace of God. God in his marvelous infinite wisdom has a way of taking you to Calvary, seeing Jesus Christ dying for you. And that's the same way it is when your joy is restored. The joy of thy salvation is restored. Through this confessing our sin, he takes us back and see Jesus Christ hanging there at Calvary. You know what that does? It may cause you to weep. It may cause tears to come in your eyes, but what it does, it restores unto you the joy of thy salvation. And you know, we must never lose sight of Calvary. Now, what is the result of confessing our sin? When he makes known his forgiving love to us, we rejoice. It's all summed up here in 1 John 2 and in verse 12. We've already covered this previously in our Sunday school, but in 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 12, we find the Apostle John. Listen to what he says. He says, I write unto you, little children, but now look here. Because your sins are forgiven you. Where were they forgiven? They were forgiven at Calvary. He says, for his name's sake. In this process, we go back to Calvary, and what we do? We recall and we remember his mercy, his love, and we remember his grace. But now, let's look at this verse again. We have noticed thy salvation. We have noticed the first word, restore, but then it comes down to this. Let's notice this. Restore unto me. Now, aren't you happy when you see somebody else happy in the Lord? Aren't you happy for them? But somebody else being happy in the Lord's not allowed to be happy in the Lord. There was other people around David that he could see and look at, and they were really happy in the Lord's salvation. But what David really wanted, and you know the sin that was in his life, what David really wanted, said, restore unto me. Yeah.
You know who needs it? You need it.
You need the joy
of God's salvation
as a person that is saved by the grace of God. God's salvation now has become our salvation. For he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, meaning it's God's salvation, but now it has become David's salvation. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and in verse 8 down through verse 10, notice as the Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Thessalonica, and notice what he says here in this passage of Scripture, chapter 5, 8 through 10. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. And I believe that what we see here is, it has become our salvation. And so, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And we rejoice in the Lord's salvation. The psalmist said this in several places. I'm just going to mention these. I'm not going to read them because of brevity of time. But in Psalm 9:4, he said, thy salvation. In Psalm 13:5, he said, thy salvation. In Psalm 62:1-2, he said, thy salvation. But look, when David got down to Psalm 140, and turn over just a few pages from Psalm 51, down in Psalm 140, and there in verse 7, he said this, oh God the Lord, notice, the strength of my salvation, thou hast covered my head in the day of battle. So, restore unto me is, I am the person that needs to be restored. Now, there's nothing wrong with praying for your Christian friend that's fallen in sin or backslidden away from the Lord. And there should be a happy moment when that person is restored to the joy of our salvation. But what we need to do is to see our need. Each one individually. And that's what the psalmist saw. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And I believe this is the thing that is needed most. We need to continually see our salvation. You say, oh, I know I'm saved. I know that. But you need to continually see your salvation. You know what I'm saying? You can get the point. You need to continually see Christ. You need to continually look back to Calvary. Why are we not moved like we ought to be when Calvary is preached about, or the death of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary? Did you know that that is the joy of our salvation? Seeing Christ and saving us there. And I thought about Simeon and Anna and Simeon as I said over there. The Lord enabled me to see my salvation. We need to continually be restored to the joy of our salvation.